Tweet at Today SOR.
What's the right weight for my child is one of the more common questions parents have. And though it seems like a simple one, it's not always easy to answer, as not every child grows and develops at the same rate or in the same way. But with a recent report showing that almost one third of Irish children are now overweight, it's a pressing health concern facing many families. So here with some advice on the ideal weight for a growing child is our regular contributor, dietitian Louise Reynolds from the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. Louise, good morning. Thank you indeed for coming in.
Good morning, Sean.
Say, one of the points you make is that it's not easy for parents to recognise a child as being overweight these days.
That's right. And I think because the numbers of overweight children are increasing, a child might have a lot of friends who they all look kind of similar, and maybe the parents often are overweight, because we know that 66%, so that's two-thirds of Irish adults, are overweight. So chances are the mum or the dad might be a little bit overweight. So it can just be that little bit more difficult to spot it, you know. And sometimes then, parents don't want to really address an issue. They think, oh, maybe it's puppy fat, or they'll grow out of it. But we just need to be a little bit more conscious.
Yeah, and I gather there was another report recently suggesting that some obese or overweight children perceive themselves to be a healthy size or even a bit skinny.
Yeah, I know. And, people are very conscious of talking about weight to children. They don't want to make children conscious of their weight. And you know, it's important that children have a good self-esteem. That's obviously really important. But again, it comes back to the society you're living in. If you're the only overweight child in your class, and if you're going shopping as a teenager with your friends and you realise, oh, well, they're all shopping in this shop and I can't find anything to fit me in there, then maybe you realise, okay, you know, we're all different, and maybe I can't eat the same pizzas and ice creams as my friends can, because that's the other thing. We all have different metabolic rate, and that can be tough as well for teenagers.
One thing which seems to be a cause for concern, or at least another thing, or another dimension to this, I should say, is that children are now being diagnosed in a way that hasn't been evident before, being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, that's right. These would be very overweight or obese children. And type 2 diabetes, now it's important to clarify, this is not the same as type 1 diabetes, insulin-dependent diabetes, where a child has to take injections of insulin every day. That is unrelated to weight, and that can occur at any stage in life. Any of us can develop that. But the other type, which in fact when I was studying nutrition in college, Sean, this was called maturity onset diabetes. It was unheard of in children. It was adult onset or maturity onset. Now it's called type 2 diabetes, and there are cases of children in children's hospitals in Dublin as young as 8 or 9 developing this type of diabetes, where they're because they're very overweight, that their bodies are not able to process the sugar intake and their insulin is not working well. So that in itself is obviously a huge public health concern. And for those children, by changing their lifestyle, by losing the weight, they can go back to not having type 2 diabetes.
They can lose the diabetes as adults.
They can, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not the type 1 we're talking about here. But that, you know, just shows that really, you know, when you talk about diet, we're talking about eating more, eating the right kinds of foods, we're talking about exercising more. And it's funny, because the other day a friend said, do you remember when we were children, you'd ask in the summer, can I come in? And your parents would say, no, your dinner's not ready, stay out. You know, we were kind of put out for the day to play, and you're on your bike or you were climbing. And, you know, I kind of laughed when I remember that as well. Can I come in? No. And now children are in, they're on their mobiles, they're on their watching TV, you know. So a big part of this is exercise. And I think that cannot be forgotten when we're talking about overweight in children.
Now, I suppose the question is, you know, how can parents know what weight their child should be? I mean, is there a simple calculation or ready reckoner taking into account age and height, for example?
Well, you know, there are growth charts that if a child went to see a registered dietitian, they would be able to, you know, plot them on a chart where they should be for their age. I would be very reluctant to call out figures on the radio, because I feel, again, you know, every child is growing at a different rate. However, a simple thing would be have a look at the size label on their clothes. So, you know, if you're shopping for your 8-year-old for their school uniform and you have to buy the trousers for a 12-year-old, or if you're, you know, buying clothes that are way out of range, you need to have a look at that, because very often an 8-year-old child will either be wearing 7 to 8, 8 to 9, in and around that, you know, and maybe with different brands and different shops, it may change a little bit. Another thing that I've heard clinical dietitians mention to me is that a young child, when they put their arms up over their head, if they're taking off their top or they're putting on their pajamas at night, they're putting their arms up over their head, you should be able to see their rib cage. And that's just a simple fact. They shouldn't have an extra sort of layer of weight around their middle. You know, but sometimes now parents would feel, oh my God, that child is fading away or they're malnourished, but no, they're not. You know, you should see a child's
if they
ribcage.
Have their arms above their head,
arms
pulling
above
off a t-shirt
head.
Or
yeah,
whatever
exactly.
It would be. Yeah.
You know, that they, you should be able to see their ribcage, and that's just a sign that they're kind of a healthy weight.
And it doesn't mean they're undernourished, the fact that you can see a ribcage.
No, it doesn't. But again, because now we are more used to seeing more overweight people. In fact, there was a slot on RTÉ recently looking back at the heat wave from about 30 years ago, and there was a little montage, a video of people waiting for the bus to go to the beach, and I saw it on social media, and it was a lovely little, you know, image from a long time ago. But the one thing that struck me was everybody was lean. And again, I saw all the comments underneath. People were saying, oh my God, there's nobody who's overweight. I mean, this is something which is relatively new, the fact mm-hmm. that the numbers have really dramatically increased. So we need to look at our lifestyles, but we also need to look at our diet. So if you have a child who's a little bit overweight, the first thing, again, I'd say is have a look at portions. Safe Food have done a fabulous amount of work on portion size for children. So go to the Safe Food website, safefood.eu. They've lots of photographs there and lots of tips for parents. So for example, a five-year-old should not be eating the same size dinner as parents in the house or as their 15-year-old brother or sister. So a five-year-old maybe should have about half the size portion. Use smaller plates. Okay, so again, it doesn't look like there's no food on the plate. Our plate sizes have increased in the last 20 years as well. You know, so now when you buy dinner plates, the average dinner plate is about 20% bigger than it was when we were children.
And of course you have to fill it.
And you have to fill it. And of course, again, sometimes, you know, the idea, certainly from the old, you know, older generations listening, you had to finish everything on your plate. So again, I wouldn't recommend that. You know, let children listen to their own internal, mm-hmm. What we call their satiety signals. If they're feeling full, you know, they can stop
eating. But one thing, I think some people might observe this, that sometimes you can have a home where everybody's eating the same meals. One child may be overweight while another is skin and bone. How can that happen?
Yeah, well, that can happen. And, you know, it's not always a case where, now there are cases where an overweight child may have overweight parents and you have to look at the whole family's diet and maybe there are lots of changes that the whole family could make. But you're absolutely right, Sean, there are cases where there are lean children and overweight children within the one family. I think it's important there to have a look at what that child perhaps is eating outside of school. If they're a teenager, perhaps they are, you know, shopping with their own pocket money, extra foods going to and from. With younger children as well, it's worth having a check with a GP, you know, that there isn't an underlying endocrine issue or hormonal issue there as well. So it would be important to rule that out. But generally, if everyone is eating the same types of dinners, if everybody is playing soccer, well, going to the park, you know, very often, if you have a healthier lifestyle within the family, it can be easier for everyone to be the same. But without a doubt, there are children who may have differences to their siblings. And that can be very difficult. That can
so
be hard.
It really, does it come back usually or in most cases to a combination of diet and exercise?
Exercise, absolutely, it does. And I mean, there are lots of school-based programs around the world where at a young age, children are encouraged to take more physical activity. If parents are brought in, because very often we know as well that there is a higher incidence in lower socioeconomic groups of overweight and obesity. So very often you may have parents who don't have the cooking skills, maybe don't have the access to fresh fruit and vegetables, maybe don't have the access to the supermarkets where they can go and shop and cook healthier meals. So they're relying more on the frozen cabinet and takeaway pizzas and so on. So there are lots of different factors when it comes to obesity. One thing is not going to solve it. You know, a sugar tax is not going to solve it. Making one small change, but by parents being aware, firstly, of if their child, you know, has an issue, then for the whole family, eat more fruit and vegetables, snacking on fruit, making that more visible and available for the child will help.
What about talking to your child if there's a realisation that there's a weight issue to be dealt
yeah.
with? Again, you don't want to be getting kids complexes it's growing up is tough enough.
It's tough enough, exactly. And I really think it's very important that parents, you know, don't get into an issue of weighing children or, you know, focusing on weight. I think probably the best thing in those situations is to say, look, we're all, you know, probably eating too many biscuits in the house. Let's all try and eat more healthily. Do you want to come up with a couple of recipes? We'll try and, you know, help. Maybe if it's an older child, they can get involved in cooking as well with you. But also having conversations around, you know, if we're eating all day and snacking all day, we need to be doing a lot of exercise to burn that up. It's really like a car and energy and that sort of, you know.
A lot of questions on the text line. My five-year-old grandson is obsessed with food and is obese. His parents treat him with food. Yeah. What would be an ideal weight for him and how to stop the obsession?
I know. And, you know, again, it is hard. And treating children, rewarding children with food is something that can probably is probably not the best idea. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of an easy one to do, you know, can say, oh, you can go to the shop and buy some sweets, maybe buy a magazine, bring the child out to the park, go for a swim. There are other activities that you can
and
do to treat children.
The grandparent can talk to the parent of the child there.
Absolutely.
The child,
yeah, but yeah. It's a very sensitive issue, you know, when you're a grandparent, and sometimes it's the grandparents in the other way who are treating the child with lots of treats in the grandparents' house.
Yeah, very concerned how to approach my anxious 13-year-old girl. She has gained weight since starting secondary school. I am mindful how I speak to her about this, as she is very self-conscious.
I know, and it is very difficult, because a lot of, and you see the fashions that young girls now are wearing, and coming into the summer, they all want to be able to wear the same clothes and shopping in the same shops. I would certainly, you know, in terms of your own, what you're cooking at home and what's available at home, don't buy the foods in the house that you don't particularly want children to be eating. So don't have the crisps, biscuits, treats. Very often in houses, there's a treat press or a treat cupboard. You know, just get rid of all of that. Make changes. Have a look at your own family eating habits. And maybe, first of all, to address it in a way and say, do you know what? It's coming into the summer. We're going to have more salads. We're going to have, let's try and have vegetable-based meals once a week. And because she is 13, she can get involved in that way. Again, look at exercise. Is she playing a team sport? Is there something else going on in school? Maybe now coming into the summer term, there might be athletics. She could get involved. And again, it's doing something with friends. Particularly, I have teenage girls myself, and it's when their friends are going to something, they're really keen to go along and get involved. So try and encourage her to say, look, maybe your friends could, you know, start mm-hmm. going swimming or get involved in what's going on in school.
Here's another one. What if a 7-year-old child is the height of an average 10-year-old? Do you look for them to be roughly that average weight too? Or how much should they be eating?
Yes, yeah. Well, if that child is a very tall child, well, then obviously they are going to be bigger and probably not wearing a 7-year-old's clothes because they're exceptionally tall. And again, you see children do grow at all different rates. So this sounds like a lovely tall child who, you know, probably is a little bit hungrier than an average 7-year-old because they've taken a big growth spurt. So again, just keep an eye on the types of foods. Children don't need to be eating all day, every day. And we sometimes see that now, you know.
Yeah.
And that's not great for dental health as well. It's snacking all day.
My 3 active boys are heading into teenage years. They're always hungry. How do you keep them full but not overfeed them? It's a great question.
It is a great question. And I know boys tend to be the ones who eat the family out of house and home. Again, it's having the right kinds of foods there. So a huge reliance on fruit and vegetables. I mean, Sean, I'm always talking about fruit and vegetables in here. But, you know, things for children coming in from school, rather than, you know, you don't want them putting on frozen pizzas into the oven. If you have things like hummus, vegetable sticks, chopped up fruit, yogurt, a small sandwich made with brown bread, bananas. These are all kinds of foods that will fill children up, but are really nutritious and will give them lots of benefits in terms of their nutritional content and not overly high in fat. So think of things that, you know, you can make yourself rather than out of a packet.
There are schools near where I live. Walking past the bus stop, I see half them, boys in particular, munching on sausages, chips, chicken wings, etc., while waiting for the bus home for dinner.
For dinner, I know. Yeah, I know. And that is a huge problem. And, you know, there are concerns. I know the no fry zone people are speaking about, you know, trying to keep takeaways away from schools, which is a very good idea. But then, of course, you've got the local shops where you can get a sausage roll or the breakfast rolls or whatever.
Too much money in their pockets.
Too much money in their pockets, exactly. But then they end up having 2 dinners in the day, which again is going to cause a
Louise
problem.
Louise Reynolds, thank you very much indeed for coming in to talk to us.